Lowe'sCompany.com. And with just a day's planning, you'll save big. Find discounts up to 40% off window rates, unlimited ticket changes, and convenient pickup. Get your gear ready and head to PicoMountain.com.
G-Stone Motors website ad, take one.
Hey, I'm Travis Romano from G-Stone Motors in Middlebury. We'd like to invite everyone to check out our web...
Hey, Travis, I just got a text message from my daughter.
Yeah, I heard.
What does TTYL mean?
Oh, are you still trying to figure out that phone? It means talk to you later, as in after we finish this ad.
How do you know all this stuff?
Did you download our new web app yet?
Web app? I mean, I can see the whole inventory from this phone?
Yeah, you can see our entire inventory right on your cell phone.
Cool. Did you know I could play Angry Birds on my phone?
Oh, never mind.
G-Stone Motors website ad, take two.
Hey, I'm Travis Romano from G-Stone Motors in Middlebury.
Excuse me, Travis, do you know what WTAIT means?
No, but I know what WTF means. What is it this time?
We'll take anything in trade. How's that?
All right, give me the tag.
G-Stone Motors, your hometown Ford and GMC dealer where they take anything in trade. Route 7 in Middlebury or online at gstonemotors.com.
Are you looking for a money-saving, portable, removable, and reusable method of customizing your brand or event? Always On Time Signs and Designs has the answer. Phototex. It's an adhesive media fabric paper that can be easily placed anywhere and then removed and reused as desired. Here's Steve Florucci to tell us more.
Phototex is virtually indestructible and works on most any surface. It won't leave a sticky residue, rip, or wrinkle, and is available in any size. Our in-house design service can create most anything you'd like, such as custom wall graphics, event signage, or team promotions. Phototex can be applied to almost any surface, is completely customizable, we can reproduce any picture, sign, or poster, and best of all, Phototex is completely removable and very affordable.
Call Always On Time Signs and Designs at 228-8948 or 1-800-547-0808 to find out more about Phototex. Located at 115 Industrial Lane in Berlin, Always On Time Signs and Designs.
All right, we're back at the State House in Montpelier. We'll be broadcasting live here this morning. Also, we'll be back here tomorrow morning on the program. Tomorrow, we'll talk with the Senate President John Campbell. The governor will join us as well, and we'll also talk with Senator Kevin Mullen. That'll all be coming on the program tomorrow. Later today at about 1:30, the governor of Vermont, that's anticipated to again be Governor Shumlin, will be delivering his inaugural address, and of course we will be carrying that live right here on WDEV AM and FM. And our numbers on the program are 244-1777. That's our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. We're going to have a discussion here with Representative Tony Klein in just a moment. Let me take a call from Williamstown. Rama, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Hey, listen, I'm getting to this health, back to this health care and insurance
budget. I'm sorry, I'm not really hearing you, Rama.
All right, well, I'll try back another day then.
There we go. Now I got you.
You got me? Yep. Yeah, getting back to this health insurance and school budgets and how they're intertwined, I can't stress enough how important it is that the legislature is going to have to help by interceding in these contracts with teachers and school administrators to move people into the exchange. School boards are going to need this assistance, and here's where we're going to face a big problem. By law, we can borrow up to 87% of the prior year's budget if we go start our school year without an approved budget by the community. Mm-hmm. School boards are going to be trying to negotiate themselves out of these Cadillac-level plans, which are going to start carrying in a couple years. They're going to start carrying an excise tax that I've seen the figure go as high as 40%. That's going to
right.
be a huge increase on property taxes at the local level.
Yeah.
And in order to negotiate out of that, the only way you're going to get out of that through the contract negotiations is either over a couple decades worth of work, or school boards are going to have to start imposing contracts. We're going to start seeing strikes, impositions, and we're also, if school boards don't get out from under those Cadillac insurance plans, budgets are going to start getting voted down, and we're going to start seeing more and more schools ending up starting their school year at that 80% of the prior year's budget level. This is a very real possibility. And if you want to kill the public education system, you start driving it down to that kind of level real quick.
What's the date when that's going to kick in?
I can't be exact on this because I've heard a couple different. It's either 2017 or 2018, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay. Okay.
It's coming. It's right around the corner, and it's got to be dealt with. The legislature has interceded in the contracts between school and teachers on behalf of the teachers lately. We need the help on behalf of the school boards.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. 244-1777. That's our local number in Central Vermont. You can also reach us toll-free at 877-291-8255. Let's give a nice home radio Vermont welcome this morning to Representative Tony Klein, who's from East Montpelier and chair of the House Natural Resources Committee. Tony, thank you for joining us. And energy is in there, too.
Energy, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the big hot potato. We're going to have a discussion later in the program, and I know you're interested in seeing some sort of a tax on carbon happening. True?
Well, yes and no.
Okay. How yes and how no?
Well, let's be clear.
Right.
Let's be clear, and a carbon pollution reduction tax is, there's not going to be one this year, okay? There's not going to be one that's going to be passed out of my committee or any other committee. But the discussion about what the effect of carbon is and why we need to reduce it is important to have. And tax policy is and should be about, you know, we want to tax things that are bad, that people, that we want to reduce, and you want to invest in the good. Okay. So we all know that greenhouse gas emissions, which have real huge negative impact on climate change, are bad, and that's caused by carbon. And so doing things that reduce our use of carbon is good. Okay. At the same time, we can make people aware of, we're taxing a lot of things. We don't even know why we're taxing them. One of the examples I like to use with people is, what's so bad about baby diapers? Well, we tax baby diapers. Why? Because we can. So the point of carbon tax discussion is exactly that, to have a discussion to raise awareness of the issues. I'm aware of at least two or three, maybe four folks who are introducing carbon tax bills and or carbon pollution reduction bills, we will discuss them, and we will have folks in to talk about that. I'm also aware that the chair of the Ways and Means Committee has also committed to hold hearings on the issue as well.
So why do you say it will not pass?
It will not pass because, one, the speaker told me it won't pass, and two, the way it came out to the public with a real lack of I think on our part of preparation, there was a pretty scary reaction to it, and people don't understand. I accept that, and that was a mistake. And so there's no need to put fear into people about things that aren't going to happen. I'm certainly not going to ask the members of my committee to vote on something that I know may cause a lot of discomfort, especially if it's not going to go anywhere. So,
right.
So we're just not going to do that.
I have to ask you to put those on. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Let's go to Montpelier. Roland. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. This
yes,
is about
sir.
Education. I even talked to Mazza and a couple of representatives, and I said the problem with our teachers' union, they're so strong. I told Mazza, I said, they shouldn't be allowed to go on strike. Firemen don't go on a strike. Nurses don't go on. Police don't. Those are our tax money. They're getting paid by the taxpayer, not a private employer. They should not be allowed to go on strike. And then the second thing about this carbon tax, they shouldn't even bring that up, Mark. I have apartments. You put a tax on the fuel. What we do, we just increase our rent, put it on the little guy, and the little guy get pinched again. The more you put tax, it just trickles down to the little guy, and there's no way in heck that little guy can possibly make a living. So what's got to happen, I told him, I said, even that legislature, they got so many bills out there. Why don't we just concentrate on two, the budget and education and taxes? Why have all these bills that not really the main issues? We're in dire straits here, Mark. But that's all, right. I have to say.
Thank you for your call. Let me have Tony comment.
What would you like me to comment on?
Well, maybe the education part of it.
Just so your listeners know, I spent 17 years on school board, so I guess I have a little background on it. Teachers not being able to strike. I don't want teachers to strike. I don't think teachers want to strike. I'm not sure of what the pros and cons of passing a law that says people don't have the right to strike are. I don't think we have all the ramifications, both good and bad. But you know, we should look at it. We don't want any unintended consequences. But you know, if that's what the folks want, and it happens, and it's shown that it's the thing to go for, then we'll go for it.
What about this idea? There are just too many bills introduced here, and you should narrow it down, concentrate on just a few.
Well, you know, you could say that about a lot of things, but then you start to look at the issues that, first of all, I think the gentleman who called in said we should just talk about two, and then he said three. So you begin adding on that. You know, what about our roads? You want to drive on good roads. You want fire protection. Just a number of things. So, pretty hard to limit bills. You know, bills are coming from the people.
Let's go to Waterbury, Mac. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. I do have a question for the honorable representative, and I think this is an issue that a lot of us here are hoping his committee and others will take a leadership role on, because frankly nobody has in recent years, and that's the health of Lake Champlain. What's on the agenda now for bills for Lake Champlain? What kind of help can we expect from Montpelier, and how much of a priority is Lake Champlain? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks for your call.
Well, I think that's an excellent question, and I think part of the speaker's speech yesterday was the health of Lake Champlain is one of the top issues that we're going to be facing, and he has already announced that not only my committee and not only the Fish, Wildlife, and Water Committee, but the Agricultural Committee as well, we will all be looking at what the solutions are and what we can do about it. And I think it's one of the issues in this state house where you're going to see Democrats and Republicans and independents and progressives. There's no party lines when it comes to the health of Lake Champlain.
Why do you think nothing has really truly happened that's worked prior to now, though?
Because I don't think people were really, really aware of just how bad things are and what it really means when you pollute that lake. And I think, unfortunately, it took to the point where it was visible pollution, and that you couldn't go in the water, and that if you did go in the water, it might even kill your dog. And I think that's what it took, unfortunately.
244-1777 is our local number, toll-free 877-291-8255. But funding it has always been the challenge, too.
Funding it is always the challenge, and that is going to continue to be a challenge. But, we know that agricultural practices with phosphorus going into the lake are a big part of it. So we've got to find ways to help our farmers reduce that phosphorus input in there.
Talk about some of the other issues you're going to deal with on your committee.
We're looking at some issues in energy and creating a renewable portfolio standard to replace our speed program that expires in 2017. If we don't do something about that, the other states in New England will stop buying our renewable certificates that have helped us build a lot of the renewable generation that we've had in the state. If we are not allowed to continue to sell those certificates to those other states, that will have a huge negative impact on our electric rates, and nobody wants that.
See, that's an interesting argument, because I've heard other people say that this isn't right for Vermont to be selling these credits out of state. They ought to be kept in state. So what's the argument What's your argument to go the other route here? I mean, I guess the question is, does it really result in a reduction in pollution if you sell the credits to somebody like Massachusetts and they don't have to do renewable projects?
Okay, well, I think you're talking,
or as many.
You're talking about two issues and they can get confusing, so I'm going to separate one of the issues and we'll just talk about selling credits. If you have a renewable portfolio standard that is suggesting that you have 20%, for example, of your portfolio in certified renewables, you may have more than that in your portfolio, so you could still sell the certificates out of state.
All right.
And we'll have no impact on that. What we've run into now is that we've had our own program in this state, and we've called it SPEED, Sustainably Priced Energy Enterprise Development Program, that doesn't require our utilities to have anything in their portfolio until 2017. And what we require them to have in their portfolio in 2017 is what it is called SPEED qualified projects. Well, they look like renewable projects. We had to do that because we couldn't get a renewable portfolio standard in place in 2005. We created this program. Program was signed into law by Governor Douglas. It is the very thing that has allowed us to build the renewables that we built in the state. It's been a good thing. Now we've gotten there. Now it's time to get in line with our other states and create a standard, a portfolio standard that's in line with their standards as well.
So it doesn't diminish the incentive for other states to build renewable energy projects if we sell the credits to them?
No, because they can't build enough. That's been part of the problem. You're always going to have a certificate market. That's not going to change. Even when everybody has a renewable portfolio standard in place, you're going to have that market because states like Connecticut can't satisfy their requirements by building it in state.
Okay. Wind projects. Is there going to be any discussion in your committee in this legislature, this session, about how and where and when wind projects are going to be sited?
I actually think we're going to have more of a discussion on solar siting in the committee because we've had such a rapid development of solar siting. And as a result of the success of the program, you have some unintended consequences that need to be dealt with. And we're going to deal with them because we certainly don't want the angst that unfortunately has occurred with wind development to have that same kind of angst in communities with solar development. So I think we're going to work very hard on making sure that doesn't happen.
So what does that mean?
Well, that means that maybe for the bigger solar projects, we look around the states to the areas that where the power is really needed, and if you can put it where the power is really needed so you don't have to build transmission lines to satisfy things, and you can put them in places where nobody wants anything, like a retired gravel pit or a brownfield, then those are places that are appropriate for it, and you expedite the permitting process for that to happen. In other places where folks want solar, but for their own use, which is great, and we don't want to stop that, it should be that you got to pay more attention to the local rules and regulations of the towns and the zoning, and I don't think there'll be a problem with that.
Back on Lake Champlain, what do you think, Tony, it's going to take for the legislature to support something like raising revenue through a per parcel fee?
Boy. I haven't really looked into the particulars of what it takes,
you get the general concept. I mean, and it's a big one.
Yeah. But I can't imagine us not doing anything. I think there's a lot of will in this building that crosses all party lines. I think the seriousness of the problem is apparent to everybody. Because if that lake dies, we're not going to have an economy here. We'll have no development. You won't have to worry about any of it.
And is there part of the interest because the Conservation Law Foundation sued? We got the EPA involved now. Is that, I mean, how big a factor, if any, did that play?
I think that's a huge factor, quite frankly. I mean, that put it all on the line. That's you folks better do something, or the EPA is going to step in here, and you do not want the Fed stepping in here because they don't know what Vermont's about.
the election later this morning of the governor. What have you thought about this whole process here?
I've been very troubled by this process. I'm very worried about the impact on our electoral process going forward. It's been very troubling to me, and I'm glad it will be over this morning.
Why? What's troubling?
Well, you know, for the most part, I grew up, as I think most everybody grew up, saying, you know, that democracy in elections, the person who gets the most amount of votes is the winner. If you play a baseball game, the team that scores the most runs wins the game. And, you know, we have a constitution that says that candidates have to get to a certain level. If they don't, the legislature has to elect them. I think it's wrong that legislators are electing state leaders. I think that's up to the voters of the state of Vermont. I think we didn't have to change it in the past because it was always done that the person with the most votes. That's what we stamped. I've been here since 2002, my first year here. Jim Douglas was running against Doug Racine. Doug Racine won my two towns. Nobody got 50%, came to the legislature. I voted for the person who had the most votes. I did that again in a lieutenant governor's race. I did that again in the governor's race, a couple of years ago. In my district, if you want to get to that electoral college stuff, which troubles me greatly because we don't have an electoral college system in this state. I believe in one person, one vote, and every vote counts. Well, in my district, my two towns voted for Governor Shumlin. That's who I'm voting for.
Do you think, well, but are you voting for him because that's how your district went?
I'm voting to enhance the will of the electorate. And we vote for a governor by a statewide vote, and the person who got the most votes gets my vote.
Do you think that there could be any continued sustained momentum for a constitutional change?
I think so, but, you know, it's really difficult to do that. I think you've described to your listeners what has to be done. If it went smoothly and everything happened, it wouldn't be in place until 2018 anyway. And look, the things that people are looking to change it to, which is, hey, let's make sure the person who gets the most votes wins it pretty much right off. You know, that's what's going to happen today.
Any other goals you have for the next 2 years here?
We're going to be
staying alive, obviously.
Well, staying alive, yeah. In my committee, we've got some solid waste issues to deal with, so we'll be looking at those things. We've got some Act 250 issues to work for. Hopefully, make that process more predictable, less expensive for people to be building the building in the right places.
What are the solid waste issues?
Well, the solid waste issues are, you know, we've got the law in place that organic materials is going to be totally not allowed in our one surviving landfill, I think, by 2020. And we got to make sure that the haulers have the capacity to pick up our recyclables and our organic matter and that they are equipped to do that. That's an expensive venture. And we also have to make sure that the infrastructure is in place that can handle the organic material. Composting facilities are nearby and that they have the markets to sell the product.
You unhappy the single-payer financing isn't going to be brought to the legislature?
No, I'm not unhappy about it. I mean, you know, single payer, ask 10 people what single payer means, you'll get 10 different definitions. I think everybody agrees that we're looking to insure the most amount of people and have coverage that they can absolutely afford and take advantage of. And I'm hopeful that maybe that this target of single payer that is now off the table, that the committees can get to work to make the goals of those things happening and reducing the cost. And if we accomplish those things, I don't care what you call it.
Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, sir.
Representative Tony Klein is the chair of the House Natural Resources and Energy Committee. We're broadcasting live this morning at the State House in Montpelier. Coming up next hour, we're going to continue to talk about the carbon tax. We'll also, of course, bring to you the any and all results of the election. It's not exactly clear, as you heard Senator Baruth saying, whether or not there will be a lot of discussion on the floor. You know, it could be anywhere from a 10-minute to, you know, who knows how long discussion. But coming up at 1:30 this afternoon, we will be carrying the inaugural address of whoever it is that is elected the next governor of Vermont. That'll be live here on WDEV AM and FM. Our numbers on the program, 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. Quick break, back after this.
Ever since we teamed up to form the new McMahon Chevy Buick, folks from all over the state have been saving money. Hi, this is Steve Sayes from McMahon.
And I'm Ed Dever, sales manager at McMahon. We've got the biggest inventory in our history of new and used vehicles on our two lots. McMahon has even added the import corner, where we always have a nice selection of late model, low mileage imports. You get top dollar for your trade because, with our used car business being up 500%, we're keeping more used vehicles than ever.
McMahon is loaded with new Buicks and Chevys, including the Silverado and the all-new redesigned Colorado. You can check our inventory out online at McMahonChevrolet.com and like us on Facebook for all of our crazy offers. Just think about what you could do with all the money you're going to save.
Yeah, you could get a Caribbean island.
An island? Come on, Ed. They're going to save some money, but come on.
The new McMahon Chevy Buick on the corner of Route 15 and Route 100 in Morrisville. You've got to get here.
And remember our Cash for Junkers program. You'll get a minimum trade allowance of $3,000 towards any used vehicle in stock. Save big on your next car or truck at the new McMahon Chevy Buick. Come see for yourself. At the new McMahon, we make deals the other guys won't. Chevy, find new roads.
Hey, where are you and the kids going with your sneakers?
I'm headed to First & Fitness to use the $150 gift I got with signing up for a year membership.
First & Fitness gave you a $150 gift for joining?
Yeah, I'm using mine for childcare so I can enjoy my workout without worrying. Plus, when you join, kids 10 and under get a free pool membership.
Wow, I've been dying to get a personal trainer to help me get motivated. Could I use my $150 gift for that?
You bet. And lots of other great services, too. My friend Sue is using hers for swim lessons for her son. And my mom is getting her own locker and towel service. Or use your gift for TRX group training or dual club membership.
But isn't there a big enrollment fee?
No, First & Fitness lowered it to just $20.
I'm glad I ran into you. I'm heading to First & Fitness to join now.
Visit First & Fitness in Montpelier and Berlin and take advantage of this special offer, good for a limited time.
Yo, didn't I bring you good news from the Aqua Lair at One Stop Country Pet Supply? Me, Lenny, and Oscar have been waiting for yous to show up so we could talk about the fantastic aquatics that'll be happening here at the store all month long.
Can I tell them, Tank? Can I please?
Don't get your fins all in a twist.